Let's all read responsively a portion of scripture for Amos chapter 7 verses 1 to 17. Amos chapter 7 verses 1 to 17. You may read from a personal Bible and from your screen. And I shall begin. Thus hath the Lord showed unto me, and behold, he formed grasshoppers in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth. And lo, it was the latter growth after the king's mowings. And it came to pass that when they had made an end of eating the grass of the land, then I said, O Lord God, forgive, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. The Lord repented for this. It shall not be, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, the Lord God called to contend by fire, and it did out the great deep, and did eat apart. Then said I, O Lord God, cease, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. The Lord repented for this. This also shall not be, saith the Lord God. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their land. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and prophesy there. But prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court. Then answered Amos, and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdman, and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go, prophesy unto my people Israel. Now, therefore, hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Together, therefore, thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be an harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by lying. And thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his land. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Let us pray. O God, we are foolish and ignorant in the things of God. We need your Spirit to teach us and guide us into all truth. Make us your humble disciples in the school of Christ, learning to hate our own corrupt carnal nature. Oh, how we need you and your saving grace from day to day. Open our understanding of the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make us wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. In chapters 1 and 2, Amos proved the guilt of Israel by comparing the nation with the surrounding nations. In chapters 3 to 6, Amos more fully explained Israel's sins and promised future judgment. Israel stood condemned for the sins of exploiting the poor, living in overindulgence, idolatry, and practicing only an outward form of religion without any godliness. Amos the prophet had three visions in chapter 7. God had promised that he would judge Israel for its sins. And these three visions depicted the nature and extent of that judgment. At this point in the book, Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, tried to intimidate Amos in order to get him to stop prophesying. Amos responded to Amaziah by defending his prophetic ministry and by proclaiming judgment against Amaziah. Let us look at all these things in detail. Roman numeral 1, the vision of the locusts. The vision of the locusts. Chapter 7, verses 1 to 3 reads, "Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, he formed grasshoppers in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth. And lo, it was a latter growth after the king they had of eating the grass of the land. Then I said, O Lord God, forgive, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. The Lord repented for this. It shall not be, saith the Lord." Amos first envisioned a swarm of locusts, grasshoppers in verse 1. The Lord God had formed the swarm when the small crop was beginning to sprout. Chapter 7, verse 1. Locust swarms were catastrophic, but to have them arrive at this time of the year would have been even more catastrophic. Extreme rebellion called for extreme discipline. Amos envisioned the locusts eating all the vegetation of the land, verse 2. The sight proved too horrible for him, and he interceded for the people. He begged God to forgive the descendants of Jacob for their sins. Otherwise, the nation would not survive, for it was small. God did not forgive the people, but he did relent concerning. For, in verse 3, he did relent concerning this judgment. The Lord is entirely without sin, and he does not repent in the same way that we do. When Amos wrote that the Lord repented, he meant that viewed from the human perspective, God turned away from an earlier intent. The example of Amos presents for a conclusion a marvelous truth. While we cannot expect God to forgive other people's sins for our sake, he may choose to change their earthly punishment for our sake. What does God's relenting tell us about him as a judge? That God is not harsh and insensitive. Not only do we have the vision of the locusts, we have Roman numeral 2, the vision of the fire. The vision of the fire. Some years ago in the Midwest, a fire broke out one evening in a small church building. Nearly everyone from the little town came to watch the firemen battle the flames. The pastor noticed an inactive member who had not been attending church for many, many years standing nearby watching the smoke and flames. Walking over to this indifferent member, he said, "Well, I don't remember seeing you here before." "Well," said the active member, "I don't remember our church ever being on fire before." Amos envisions an all-consuming fire in Amos chapter 7, verses 4 to 6. This passage reads, "Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, the Lord God called to contend by fire, and it devoured the great deep, and did eat up a part. Then said I, O Lord God, cease, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. The Lord repented for this. This also shall not be, saith the Lord God." The all-consuming fire raged so uncontrollably that it evaporated even the waters of the deep sea. No wonder it devoured the portion part in verse 4. No wonder it devoured the portion of Israel. The National Fire Protection Association in the U.S. estimated that over 200,000 cases of arson in 1 year would do $1.25 billion in damage to businesses, homes, schools, and churches. And that estimate, I believe, was made back in 1998. Imagine what the all-consuming fire would do to Israel. The prospects of such a fire so agitated the prophet that he again interceded and asked God to desist. Cease in verse 5. He asked God to desist from such a judgment. God listened to Amos and relented concerning this judgment as well. Verse 6. You may ask, what if the Lord did not relent? What would be Israel's response? Remember Amos chapter 4 verse 11? This verse says, I have overthrown some of you, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. What was Israel's response when God used fire to judge some of them at some point in the past? They didn't return to the Lord. So if the Lord did not relent in the current case, I submit to you that Israel would also not return to the Lord. We have the vision of the locusts. We have the vision of the fire. We have Roman numeral 3, the vision of the plumb line. The vision of the plumb line. A plumb line is a string with a weight tied to one end. A wall builder holds the string at the other end. The weight pulls the string down straight so that it provides a standard for a straight vertical line. In Bible times, a plumb line could also test settled mud brick walls to see how far they had tilted. If a wall tilted too far, it was destroyed and rebuilt. Now Amos chapter 7 verses 7 to 9 reads, Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, A plumb line. Then said the Lord, Behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. So Amos envisioned the Lord standing on a wall with a plumb line in his hand. Verse 7. God would set a plumb line in the midst of his people to determine how straight their devotion to him was. Verse 8. God found the people to be crooked. Deviation prevailed, especially within the ruling family and at the idol shrines. As a result, God would destroy the high places of worship and the sanctuaries. Verse 9. God would rise against the dynasty of Jeroboam II, the house of Jeroboam. In verse 9. God will rise against the dynasty of Jeroboam with the sword. Notice that this time Amos did not intercede, and military destruction turned out to be Israel's punishment. Roman numeral 4. The confrontation with Amaziah. The confrontation with Amaziah. This is from Amos chapter 7, verses 10 to 17. Now here's good advice when confronting a fly. Do not use a fly swatter to remove a fly from your friend's forehead. Do not use a fly swatter to remove a fly from your friend's forehead. Just as we have confrontations with flies, but without the fly swatter, Amos had a confrontation with Amaziah. No sooner had Amos finished declaring his vision, than Amaziah, the priest at the Bethel sanctuary, tried to intimidate Amos into leaving Israel. Verse 10. Amaziah said that Amos had predicted that the king would die by the sword. Verse 11. Actually, Amos had said in verse 9 that Jeroboam's dynasty, house of Jeroboam, would be destroyed by the sword. Amaziah did, however, correctly report to the king that Amos predicted the future captivity of Israel. Verse 11. Amos chapter 7 verses 12 to 13 reads, "Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and prophesy there. But prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court." To summarize, Amaziah's intimidation of Amos. Amaziah told Amos to go to Judah and prophesy there. He then told them to stay away from Bethel because it was the king's royal residence. What two words would you use to describe Amaziah? Perhaps pompous and foolish. Perhaps pompous and foolish. The false prophets prophesied for food. See Micah chapter 3 verse 5. The false prophets prophesied for food. And Amaziah considered Amos equally self-serving. Therefore, he ordered Amos to return to Judah and there eat his honorarium of bread. Amaziah wanted Amos far away because Bethel was the site of the king's sanctuary, court in verse 13, and the king's royal residence. We already studied Amos chapter 7 verses 14 to 15, which explain Amos's previous occupations and his call into the prophetic ministry. He did not prophesy for payment, but because when the Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy? Amos chapter 3 verse 8. Moving on. Amaziah had told Amos to prophesying against Israel and to be speaking against the house of Isaac. Chapter 7 verse 16. Compare this with chapter 7 verses 8 to 9. Because Amaziah had tried to intimidate Amos, Amaziah and his family would suffer great misfortune. Verse 17. Amaziah would die in exile on foreign soil, polluted land. In verse 17. Amaziah would die in exile on foreign soil. His children would die by the sword, and his wife would be abused as a harlot by enemy soldiers. Whether Amaziah liked it or not, Israel would surely go into captivity. The vision of the locusts. The vision of the fire, the vision of the plumb line, and the confrontation with Amaziah. Three visions and one confrontation. In conclusion, I would like to focus on the vision of the plumb line. I would like to focus on the vision of the plumb lines. As I have said, a plumb line is a string with a weight tied to one end. A wall builder holds the string at the other end. The weight pulls the string down straight so that it provides a standard for a straight vertical line. In Bible times, a plumb line could also test settled mud brick walls to see how far it is tilted. What might we use as our spiritual plumb line, so we can get a true perspective of our lives before God? what might we use as a spiritual plumb line so we can get a true perspective of our lives before God? The Bible is our primary plumb line. The Bible is our primary plumb line. Being around godly Christians can also help us to see where our lives may not measure up to God's standard. Being around godly Christians can also help us to see where our lives may not measure up to God's standard. And so the questions I would like to ask you this afternoon, are you using the Bible to get a true perspective of your life before God? Are you around godly Christians? In closing, whether you're in your own house groups or watching alone, let's all sing, "Thy word have I hid in my heart. Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path always, to guide and to save me from sin, and show me the heavenly way."